I am Clarence Bishop. I am a classroom teacher. I teach grades 7 and 8 at Joseph H. Kerr School, which is a K-12 school with all of about 145 students in it, in the little town of Snow Lake, Manitoba. Snow Lake has about 1,000 people and is the central is in the central Canadian province of Manitoba. We're about 800 miles north of the Canada-U.S. border, someplace there.
My name is Barbara Barreto. I'm the principal of a pre-K through 8th grade Catholic school in Los Angeles, California. We're a multicultural school with 63% of my students living at or below the poverty level.
Well, Snow Lake is my hometown, actually. I was born and raised here, and I have been back here teaching now for, I think this is my 11th year.
5 years ago, we had written a new mission statement that said that we educated students for the 21st century. And so a couple of years ago, I asked the faculty and staff a question. I said, you know, we said this and it sounds really good. We educate students for the 21st century. But what does that mean? How is educating students for the 21st century different than educating students for the 20th century?
I mean, Barbara and I have known each other professionally for probably 2 years now. And our official collaboration started when I put out a call on my blog that was called Junior High Teacher Seeks Long-Term Relationship. And what I was looking for was a partner someplace in the world who would be willing to work all year long, because I was interested in moving away from the idea of a fancy project of some kind that everybody would pour their heart and soul into for about 4 weeks or 5 weeks time, and then we would quit that and all go back to, you know, the way we're used to doing things. Instead, I wanted to look at doing some kind of a long-term collaboration where international work would become basically business as usual. So we came up with the idea of the Thin Walls Project.
And that was really the question that got us started on a whole movement towards integrating technology within our school. And since that time, we've rewritten our mission statement, and now our mission statement says that the mission of St. Elizabeth's School Learning Academies is to provide an excellent academic and spiritual foundation that will empower the students to be moral and responsible citizens who effectively apply technology as a tool of learning and as a means to actively participate in the global community.
What is Thin Walls? Thin Walls is the idea that we are basically trying to make one class out of two classes of kids.
Well, the concept behind Thin Walls is that we would take our 8th grade class and his 8th grade class, or actually it's a 7th-8th combination where he lives because it's a rural section of Canada, and we would create one classroom where the kids would have ubiquitous access to each other, the teachers would plan together, and for that turned out to be quite a big project.
The only problem or difficulty, I guess, is that those two classes of kids are about 2,700 miles apart from each other. So we are trying to hook our classes together in as many different ways as possible, basically every day all year long, where the kids are working on often assignments in common, or they are using instant messaging, or their blogs, or Skype, or any series of things. To basically collaborate. Sometimes they're working in collaborative groups where a couple of kids from Snow Lake and a couple of kids from L.A. will be working together. Sometimes they're just working on the same kind of assignment where they just go back and forth and read each other's work. Sometimes they just write comments to each other on their blogs. So just the idea is that we're trying to say to these kids that even though you are 2,700 miles apart from each other, you can be one class, and you can do the learning that you need to do using the tools that are out there.
I have 3 junior high teachers because we're departmentalized, so I have a math science teacher, a language arts teacher, and a social studies religion teacher, and of course Clarence has a self-contained classroom. So it kind of has two components to it. One is creating ongoing and ubiquitous communication between the teachers so that they can co-plan units and still address all of their standards. And the other was creating channels of ubiquitous communication for the students.
We're using VoiceThread, which is free. We're using Skype, which is free, instant messaging programs, the kids' blogs, their wikis. We have a Flickr account, I guess, and I guess I've paid for that, so there would be your thing that we've paid for. We're thinking of involving Twitter and moving into other things.
We had to deal with time differences. We had to deal with different standards. And so we decided that we would focus on specific subject areas one at a time. So, for example, one of the things that they did was they read the book, The Outsiders. Both classrooms read the book. And instead of having an inside your classroom literature circle, the literature circle was outside of the walls of the classroom and incorporated both classrooms. They worked on projects on the books together. They've done social studies work together. It hasn't been easy. There's been a big learning curve. Even finding the best way for the students to communicate has been a challenge.
But really, there is not a typical day because it all depends on what we're doing. Just as there's really not a typical day in your classroom, we're still learning too. We're learning what this looks like every single day.
One of the challenges that the teachers have encountered is it's really hard to let go of what you like to do in your classroom with your kids. It's hard to think outside of the walls of your classroom, and it means letting go of some things to do that. It means looking at bigger pictures. It's not about the content as much as it is about the skills.
It's actually been working phenomenally. We had, the story, as quick as I can, how we got started using instant messenger programs, is the kids were using Moodle. They have a Moodle set up in Los Angeles, and all the kids have Moodle accounts. And the great thing with Moodle, of course, is the kids can chat on Moodle, and everything's recorded. Everything's automatically transcribed. So we were very comfortable using that, because even if the kids were using it on their own time in the evening to collaborate on things, we still had transcripts of everything. And the kids were basically warned of that and told that they would be held account to any misbehavior of any kind in Moodle. Then one night, Barbara and I were chatting on Skype, and I actually was chatting on my desktop computer and had my laptop computer open next to me. And all of a sudden, I have MSN. All the kids in my class have signed up, have added me as a contact to their MSN account. We use it as a homework hotline in the evening. So if the kids need homework help, they can just send me an instant message if I'm online. And while I'm chatting with Barbara, in rolls an email from one of the kids in my class saying, here's our transcript, Mr. Fisher. So I looked at this. It was a text document, and it looked like a transcript of a chat. So on I went to MSN, found this kid in my class, and said, okay, what the heck is this? And he proceeded to tell me a story of how they were having trouble with Moodle, couldn't get it to work. It kept kicking them off. So instead, they moved over to MSN all on their own, completed the project that they had to complete, finished their collaboration, and then emailed it off to us. And that basically set the stage for everything that followed after that. We made up a code of conduct for instant messenger programs. The kids in both classrooms got the same code of conduct. And, we hold them to account for that.
One reason to do thin walls is to increase their worldview. But I think even more importantly, it's because it empowers them as learners to understand that learning is not something that just happens at school within the 8-to-3 confines, and we're empowering them to use technology as a means of learning, not just as a social network or a place where they play video games, but actually something that can make a difference in changing their lives, that anything they want to learn, they can learn if they know how to use the tools properly. One of the things that I experience as an administrator is there are so many things to juggle. And when we start talking about new ways of doing school and new ways of learning, I found that it changes everything about school. So, for example, we've had a whole conversation recently about assessment. What is it that we're really assessing? What do grades really mean? And in our primary grades, K1 and 2, we've gone to a standards-based report card that deals with mastery. And it's a completely different way of looking at assessment. And that really came out of our conversations about what learning, teaching and learning for the 21st century mean.
You know, often, of course, the parents aren't as tech-savvy as the kids are. So the parents come in more with questions about, you know, is this really true what my kid's telling me, that you're able to do this? And after you give them a few stories and show them a few things, they're very impressed. Because what else we're trying to tell the kids and tell the parents is, look, we're teaching you how to use these tools responsibly. We're giving you a monitored space, and basically we're watching to see what happens. So we've had no troubles from kids, and we've had no troubles from parents. We've had all positive reviews till this point, I guess. Kids who have managed to make good contacts and steady contacts, they're beginning to understand how the potential for learning is different. Just with the fact, I mean, even that they have 54 kids in their classroom that they can work with. It just opens up new venues. It opens up more new perspectives for collaboration. These are kids from a very small town in the middle of no place, and kids from Los Angeles, downtown LA. So they've got very different perspectives on learning and on some of the content that we're looking at. So they've had some interesting things to look at from each other.
But I think the essential conversation is re-envisioning teaching and learning. We need to become comfortable with the tools, so we do need to talk about the tools, and we need to discover what works best. But in the end, the conversation has to be about the big picture, and the tools need to become transparent. It's really a whole different way of learning. I don't know how to explain it. The conversation has to be about what is essential learning for students today. Is it memorizing the states and capitals? Or is it being familiar with the states and capitals and learning how to use that information to do creative, collaborative, innovative problem solving?
School is a vital national institution. Education changes people's lives. And I think in many ways we're blowing a vital opportunity because we're working within a system that's structured a certain way, and it's been structured that way for 200 years. And that structure needs to change, and it basically needs to change right from... In many ways, when I think of myself as a classroom teacher, it has to change in many ways right from the ground up. So I think a lot of those conversations we need to be having revolve around that idea. How can we make this learning more powerful